From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors Asabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God, to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
Father, tonight, thank you for your kindness and your mercy towards us. Thank you for bringing us together, oh God. I pray you speak to our hearts, you affect our lives. Let us go deeper in our walk with you. Let our eyes, oh God, open. Let our ears also open. Thank you for a blessed time together here tonight. In Jesus' name, somebody shouted amen. Hallelujah. Give Jesus a big hand clap and you may be seated. Hallelujah. Psalm 100 and verse 1. The Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, and serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. You can't serve the Lord with a screwed face. When you are serving the Lord, I mean, even as human beings, we don't like people to serve us with faces that are not nice. How much more the Lord, serving the Lord with a screwed face. So serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. So if you come and you don't sing, it's not biblical. It's not right. You have to be singing when you come. And He says, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We are His people. Not only are we His people, Jonathan. Not only are we His people. I didn't see you on Sunday. When I was going home, you were sitting by the roadside. By the Good Intent Neighborhood NDC office there. Is it this place? When you don't come to church, we know where to find you. You can't get lost at all. You are not coming from Georgetown, so for us not to see you. If you don't come, we'll find you. Sisters, we'll find you. Good Intent, we'll find you. Stanley Town, we'll look for you. He just didn't say we are His people. He says we are His people, and there's a conjunction, and also the sheep of His pasture. In other words, God sees us as sheep. God sees us, or human beings, or Christians are described or seen as sheep. That is why David, in his greatest and most famous psalm of all time, Psalm 23, says something. He says in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. Or shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23 and verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. You cannot have a shepherd if you are a goat. Shepherds go with people who watch and have sheep. If you have cows, you are not a shepherd. Rohi, what are you when you have cows? Where's Rohi? You're a cowboy. You're a cowboy. Cowboy. Okay, somebody answered for you. Cowboy. If you have pigs, what are you called? Pigs man. Pigs man. Pigs man. If you have alligators, what are you called? Alligator man. Are you with me? So it has to be that David, King David, saw himself in the light of Scripture that he is a sheep, for him to say, the Lord God is my shepherd. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 11, he says that, I am the good shepherd. So really, Christians are sheep. Now, I would say that we rather have sheep characteristics, or we are potential sheep, because not all of us are sheep. Some of us are antelopes and goats and yari and all of that. Yeah. Because if you are sheep, whenever we gather, you'll be around. Because if you are a shepherd, you lead your sheep in the day to the back dam for them to go and spend the day there to graze. In the evening, you come back to the sheep pen. You account for all the sheep. The ones that don't come are not sheep. Sheep are not difficult to manage. So if you are in the church and you are difficult to manage, you do your own thing. You come when you feel like. You go when you go. You are not a sheep. You are more of a yari. Yeah. You see, the world or unbelievers or the devil will tell you, don't let the church control you. Don't let the pastor control you. You can't be at every meeting. Can you not decide sometime to? If you are tired, are you not tired? No. What you are actually doing, or what the voice of whoever is teaching you to do that, is actually teaching you to be an antelope in the midst of sheep. Even the devil. The Bible says that for the devil to be able to come among us and fit and do something, he will have to come as sheep in wolf or wolf in sheep clothing. Are you understanding me? Even for the devil to come into the church and do something detrimental or destroy something, he has to appear as a sheep because it's only sheep who are here. So if you are a Christian and you are here and you are not a sheep, you are yari, you are antelope, or you are some deer or something, you have to try and become a sheep. And sheep form one line. Sheep will follow. Sheep will go. Sheep are one of the most humble, dependent animals. There's a reason why God calls us sheep. Yeah. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. Why? Because, you see, you have to blend in before you can deceive somebody. If you are going somewhere and you have to blend in. If you are a spy, you have to blend in. If you can't blend in, you can't do anything. So the devil comes in blending in, and the type of nature that is around, that is common, that is accepted, is sheep. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, I am taking my time to explain to you what it means when you don't have anybody particularly over your life. Let me tell you, if you are not in the church, it's fine. You are not even close to an animal. You are a devil. You are something else. But if you are in the church, then you need to exhibit the right trait of a sheep. Because if you go back to Psalm 23, let's go back there. The Lord is my shepherd. Everybody know. I think everybody can say that, Psalm 23. If you can't, it means you have to go to IJK church. I don't know. Yeah, you're definitely a yari. Look at what this is. This is the state of a sheep. If you are not a sheep, don't ever say Psalm 23. You. So, remember, the whole thing starts with a declaration that I am a sheep. And I have an owner. It means that David said, I have somebody who owns me. But you see, David was referring to God here. You cannot refer to God because you don't see God anywhere. God is not your shepherd. The shepherd means a raha. All right? The shepherd is raha. The Hebrew word is raha. It means a keeper of sheep. A pastor is a shepherd. Jesus spoke about sheep. He said some people are shepherds, some people are hireling and all of that. He refers to us as shepherds. So he said, the Lord is my shepherd. That is when I shall not want. All your needs are in a certain package. And the package is when you are able to humble yourself and let what who God has set over your life run your life. That is when you can say, I shall not want. Otherwise, you shall want. You want a. He goes into verse 2. He's telling you all the things that he as a sheep will enjoy as he has a shepherd. Verse 2. He makes me lie down. Because I'm a sheep, my pastor or my shepherd is able to make me lie down. Can I make you lie down? Can I make you come to church on Sunday? Or you decide whether you want to come or not. Yeah, many of you have been coming to the church for years. You are still an antelope. Because whenever we are having a meeting, we are not sure whether you are going to show up. What kind of nature do you have? But you see, one thing you don't know is that with such a nature, if I cannot make you, then you are not qualified to lie down in green pastures. It is only people that we can make. It is those are the people who can access the green pastures. You are not clapping. You don't understand what I'm saying. It was because Jesus was able to make the disciples into fishers of men. That's why we saw the miracles in Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3. Because they were makeable, they were malleable, they were flexible. Jesus turned them from the fishermen, what they were doing, into people who win souls. And in the same way, if only we can allow ourselves to be made, to be turned into sheep, we will lie down in green pastures. He will lead us beside the still waters. There's a whole preaching on this psalm. Because why is it important to eat green leaves and not brown leaves? Because there's something in green leaves that you don't have in brown leaves. Why is it necessary to be led beside still waters? Because waters that are still are different from waters that are not still. And a sheep does not know until the shepherd leads them. Even though the sheep, they have some kind of instinct about them when the water is not still. They have something. But they don't need to experiment with waters because they have somebody who has discovered still waters who just takes them from here and says, you know what, we are going right here. No trial and error. No trial and error. Not that, okay, this. Oh, let's pass here. Let's see if this water is good. Let's go here if this water is good. That's how people do. You try this in life, it doesn't work. You try that in life, it doesn't work. All you need is somebody that God will place over your life who will say, you know what, I think this is the right way to go. Go this way. And you see that things will begin to work together for your good. It is a sheep that is led to still waters. He what? Where's the next one? Quick! He restored my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness. All the things that David is saying here is because he has a shepherd. So I am explaining to you what it means. What it means for a sheep not to have a shepherd. That's what I'm trying to explain to you. Are you with me? And so we started last week and I gave you number one, isn't it? Yeah. Number one, if a sheep has no shepherd, what's the first thing that happens? Number one, that person is aimless. That person is aimless. Any Christian who does not have some pastor, I'm saying pastor because that is a recognized word. The pastor is the shepherd. That's why in our church we use the word more shepherds than anything. Anybody who doesn't have a shepherd over their lives, the Bible says you are going to be an aimless person. What would you be doing tonight if you were home? What would you do? TV? Guyana TV? You have the TV in your house. There's nothing on the TV in your house. And you don't even have direct TV. Some of us can't pay for direct TV. So what would you be doing? You'll be outside liming. Probably take a little Guinness. To make you feel a little dizzy so you can go and sleep. If you sleep, you can't sleep. Or smoke a joint. What would you do with your life? If it wasn't, you see, if it's not church, and getting busy with church and getting occupied in church, what do you really do with your life? Because by 5-6 o'clock, your work is finished. You're finished working. Now you go home. It's somebody's girl, somebody's daughter who's suffering. I said, it is somebody's daughter who's suffering at your hands. Pack parking your cars in somebody's garage. There's somebody's daughter who's in trouble. Liming by she house all the time. Aimless. You call that aim? You call that a mission in this life? Every night, you'll become a watchman. You just slime, smoke, drink, talk some foolish languages, do some stupid things, and when it's late, you just go and sleep. Next morning, the same routine. Today, one young man was asking me how I combine all the things I do. I smiled. He was asking, what's my secret? I said, hey, you want to know my secret? When you grow, you know my secret. Yeah, he brought up different aspects of my work. He was asking me, how do I do it? My life is not an aimless life. I have things that I'm doing in my life. Including taking care of bad boys and bad girls. I have an aim. What about you? You see, you don't have an aim because you don't have a shepherd who will give you a task, who will lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Number two. You don't have number two? Number two is division. Did I say it last week? Or you have it from another meeting? Some people know, some people don't know. It's division. Isn't that how I'm saying it? Okay. They should listen to podcasts. So what are we saying? What we are saying is that when you are a Christian, you cannot be a Christian without a leader over your life. You cannot be a Christian without a leader over your life. You see, one day, there's a gentleman in our church. He was an usher. Every time he has to put on black and white, black and yellow, he said every Sunday he's tired. He wants to feel free and wear his own clothes. He said, what is this thing that every day I have to put on this tie? And it's like he was tired. Anytime he's coming to church, he's struggling. So one day it came to the point that, you know, I had to fire him from being the head usher. So he started dressing to come to church. then you ask yourself, is this what you call dressing? Since we left you, if you give yourself to the church, we can show you how to dress. But since you want to do your own dressing, look at how you are dressed. No girl will say yes to you if you go and tell them you propose to them. You should come and see some Saturday night fever. You know Saturday night fever? Disco shirt. Half neck. Silky. Long sleeve. The sleeve is so long that you have extra here. You can lend somebody the extra. With some golden buttons like girls with female buttons. And come and see, the thing is big and it's long. And come and see, the pants is big and white shoes. Then I ask myself, is this what you've been fighting? You don't want to wear black pants, black shoe, white shirt, red shirt, yellow shirt. You don't want that. But when we left you to come to church on a Sunday, look at how you are dressed. You look like an Obia man. Malam. Yeah. Because when I got saved, I didn't even know how to dress as a Christian. I learned to dress as a Christian. Because the dressing you think, it's not Christian. It doesn't look Christian. If we leave you to live your life, you have a child father for the rest of your life. Yeah. You date. I've never seen anybody like you dates for 10 years. Hey! Even the white people who taught us dating, they don't date for 10 years. Every time we ask you, you are dating. Anytime we tell you, you are thinking about it. Anytime we say, oh, not now. Anytime we ask you, you have something to say. If you were to hand over your life to us, we will show you how to marry. We'll show you how to marry. That's not to him. Yeah. No, if you like, try. You see. Yeah. There'll be a plan. I tell you, you look at your life and you wonder how you got here. Aim. Never think you have an aim without a pastor over your life. Never think of that. It's a mistake. I've been preaching for more than 20 years. I can tell you what I'm telling you. Yeah. A long time. When I was preaching, your mother has not even met your father. But yeah, for some of you, you were still drinking Bobby. At 6 years old, you were still drinking Bobby. Yeah. Come here, I hear you drank Bobby for a long time. You love Bobby, okay? Who doesn't like Bobby here? Come on, hello. Shall we? Don't you like Bobby? Everybody likes Bobby. Why is that your comforter? Even Mr. T even loves Bobby. I wonder whose Bobby Mr. T is enjoying. He's smiling. We have to track him. We have to put a device on him to track him to see which Bobby he's going to drink. Mr. T. Number two is division. All right. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 17. So don't make that mistake. You better have a pastor over your life. I tell you. 1 Kings 22, 17. And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. What is the state of sheep that has no shepherd? Scattering. Yeah. Look at how all of us, we have come together from different places. This togetherness can only happen because there is a shepherd who says, Tuesday, 6:30, Wales, next to the People's Supermarket, come there. And then you come. That's how we are gathered. That's how we are gathered. If there was no me, there would never be any gathering here on Tuesday evenings. I tell you. Division. And I even said it. There's a gentleman we call Mr. T. Mr. T, stand up. Stand up. Oh, what are the chains? They are broken. Chains are broken. We call this nice gentleman here, we call him Mr. T. Because it's his hairstyle and he likes putting on gold chains. Right? So plenty. Not one. He has about 5 or 6 around his neck. Big ones. Last time it was weighing him so much that he was sleeping. It was choking him. We call him Mr. T. I mean, in our church, we like giving pet names and all of that. And I was saying that if it's not me who is here, if you call him Mr. T, he'll beat you. In fact, he will take you. He will take you up and say, I will break you. Shall we? What will he do? Yeah. So be careful. If you meet him in town and you say Mr. T, please, you can easily lose your front. So, but I was giving an example. I was saying that it is because of me that I say Mr. T, Mr. T. Everybody is able to say Mr. T. If it wasn't the church and me, you can't look at somebody on the way road and tell him, "But hey, you look like Mr. T." You go into the police station. You go to the police station. Because the guy will, they will fight you. Why are you talking about something like that? But because of the shepherd, there's no division. We can laugh and tease each other and still be together as one family. Put your hands together for my nice gentleman. Mr. T. Hallelujah. So it means that even families, friends, neighbors are always divided without the shepherd. Because it's the shepherd that will come and say, "You know what? No, you can't do that. Make peace. Apologize. Talk to each other. Humble yourself." It's always the shepherd who makes sure that there's always togetherness. Yeah. I'm saying that if I was not here, we will not come together. If we were to come together, we will fight when we are together. Because somebody say, "But who is you? You like talk. Why you don't mind your own business? Why you are always? You like people, you like giving people names. Who's your problem? Shut your mouth. Hey, hello, hey. You mother something, huh? You mother something. Well, that's something." But because of the shepherd, you see that there's no division, there's togetherness. Brothers and sisters are flowing. Uncles, you're flowing. Husbands and wives are flowing. Oh, the shepherd is the one who stands in there to make sure that there's no division. If you want unity, it's in the church. Hallelujah. Number three, weakness and disease. Weakness and disease. Hey, your weaknesses and your problems and your issues, it's because you don't have a shepherd. Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 4. Do you know that we have diseases as human beings? One of the things that is common among sheep is disease. If you're a shepherd, if you're a cow man, your cowboy is your cowboy, is a pig man, whatever you are into in the area of the animal husbandry, you will definitely encounter a certain disease that affects the type of animals or birds. Even if it's poultry, there's a certain disease that will affect them. Chicken, what? Because I have some chicken gunya. There's always something associated with a group of animals that affects them as diseases. In the same way also, as human beings and as Christians, we also have our own diseases and our own weaknesses. Yeah. We have it. Don't we have it? Don't we have marital problems? Don't we have man problems? Woman problems? Yeah. Yeah. Man problems. Woman problems. Money problems. Yeah. Accommodation problems. Family problems. As sheep and as human beings, we have a common disease and weakness. Tiredness. Hunger. Yeah, laziness. All forms of things that affect us. But you see, the Bible says that it is a shepherd and the presence of a shepherd that actually ensures that hungry people are fed. Lonely people are comforted. All those diseases that come among us human beings, they all have their solution in the shepherd God has given to us. You see, and that's what you have to understand. I am not trying to tell you that hand over your life to a human being. No. It is just in your best interest. And that human being or that pastor, you have to understand that it is God. That's how God works. Just as God gave you your mother and your father, God also gives his church pastors. So if you don't understand what I'm talking about, then also don't understand how come you have a mother. Yeah. Then you don't understand that part because you cannot be dropped from the skies. You need to come through a womb. You need to have parents. In the same way, in the church also, you need to have what God has set in authority. It's the pastor. When you go to school, you have teachers, you have principals. In the country, you have presidents, you have the cabinet. There's not any other place where you don't have people over your life. But you see, these things are just replicas of what God has ordained in his kingdom. That's what God has. So the Bible says, the diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which are sick. So God is talking to the shepherds here, and he's saying that you have a certain power, you have a certain authority, you have a certain grace. He says, "Sir, how's your hand? Come, come, come. Clap for Sister Esther. Microphone. It's a good point to bring it up. Microphone. Yes. Yes, please tell us your testimony.
Bones and
muscles and all kind of thing.
So the last doctor, he told me that I had to do a surgery on my hand. So my daughters, they're out. So they say I should send an x-ray up. So I send the x-ray up. So the doctor is expecting me, but
so you had a pain in your right hand?
Yeah.
For how many years?
1 year, actually.
1 year. Mm-hmm. She's been to different types of doctors.
Yeah.
Bone specialists.
Uh-huh.
All kinds of specialists. And yeah, they did an x-ray.
Yeah, they did x-rays.
They said you were sick, you were suffering from something.
Carpal tunnel syndrome.
I beg you. Table tennis syndrome.
And then tendinitis. Tendinitis.
What?
Tendinitis.
Tendinitis.
Yeah.
It's a disease. Tendinitis.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Then, tendon or tendinitis? Tendon?
Tendinitis.
Okay.
And one said it's a stress fracture.
It's stress. You go to stress.
Right.
Your hand.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, something.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And
are you listening?
Yeah.
It's very important for you to listen. Uh-huh.
Yes. And well, one, he was telling me that the hands is overworked, like all machines overwork, and it wants rest and all sort of
thing. The hand won't rest. Not a human being, the hand.
Yes, so last Sunday, well, before I talked to Bishop about it and so on, so last Sunday, Bishop prayed for me.
Mm-hmm.
He prayed for my hand.
And Sunday night?
Yes, Sunday night.
We had a small service.
And, like, I don't know what happened, but when I got up, I realized that my hand wasn't feeling any pain. It had a lump and a swelling, and I'm not feeling it again. So the swelling is gone. The pain is not there. So here I am to testify.
Healed! Tendinitis, tendon or whatever. Something, he said. So that's... That's the correct spelling? Tendinitis? The same thing?
Yeah.
Tendinitis. Tendons. The tendons.
Yeah.
Ah.
And then the carpal tunnel syndrome.
Carpal tunnel syndrome.
Uh-huh.
Hey. The people say they enable. Hey! This one, you only need an x-ray. Our students can follow. And she said, Sunday night, I prayed for her. Uh-huh. And the swelling and the pain. Wow. It was there.
Yeah.
Like how big?
A lump.
There was a lump there.
Yeah.
And it's gone.
Yeah, it's gone.
God bless you. Hey! Yeah! Judy, how's your back? Come, put your hands together for Sister Judy, the only lady with a white man's last name, Fitzsimmons. Come, microphone. Yeah, Sister Judy, you also had something. Tell us.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I was suffering from a back pain for almost a little over 3 weeks, but it was a very bad back pain. I might look as if I'm moving around, but it had a burning sensation. And if I'm sitting down, I have to like maybe either slouch myself in the chair or maybe sit to brace my back towards the back of the chair. And it was unbearable. I even stopped taking tablets. I was telling Tony, my husband, on Saturday that this back thing, I might have to visit the doctor. Mm. And then he was saying too much of church work. He was saying too much of church work. And I was saying it's not that.
Yeah.
Something is happening with me and I don't know what it is. But even Sunday night when Bishop, we were having that service and Bishop was praying with me, the back pain was there. I was even trying to sit somehow. And then Bishop prayed with me. I didn't had the back pain in mind. I know it's there.
Yeah.
But I wasn't really, really remembering.
About something else.
Yeah. But then I fell. Then Bishop was praying for me. I came up. And then you prayed. I felt as if the back of it was on more on my left side. It was in so much heat. And Bishop, I felt when the pain, it left.
You felt it?
I felt
it. You could feel like something left.
The heat came on and then the pain went. As I was on the ground, I felt the healing. I was even telling, I think it's Sister Esther was telling.
Do you remember in the Bible when Jesus said, somebody touch me?
Yes.
There was a tangible, movement of virtue. He said, virtue has left me. Something moved from Jesus into someone. That's what he said. Somebody touch me. So then Peter said, all these people, everybody trying to touch you, and you say somebody touch you. He said, no. That something left me when that person touched me. That's what Sister Judy is saying. It's like when the heat came, she could literally feel that which was causing the pain actually left.
Yeah. Indeed.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes, Bishop. So I felt when the pain left.
Yeah.
And I was healed.
Mm.
Thank God. Wow. And Monday, I wash Monday or Tuesday, but I most times Tuesday. But I wash yesterday.
Monday.
But same thing. It's Amerindian language. Hallelujah. So yesterday I washed and I didn't felt any back pain at all. I washed. I even overwashed.
If your back pain is gone, what would you do? It would be like a machine.
So So normally when I wash, I would take like 5 minutes if I bend. My neighbor just laughed. I didn't know she was looking at me or used to look at me, and she would laugh. She said, "Oh, lady, you feeling a lot of pain." But yesterday when I wash, I could have bend, rinse the clothes, get up back, no problem at all. Pain was, it's gone, Bishop. It was very nice.
Come on, give Jesus a big hand clap. Thank you very much, Sister Judy. Wow. You know, so when you talk about shepherd, we must really believe God for shepherds who will not only watch over us, but also heal our sicknesses and our diseases. Not just our problems, but also the problems in our body. Sister Esther has a ticket ready. She's going to America to fix the problem. I said she should connect the ticket and give the money to me. Let me go and lie on the beach and drink coconut water. Is God not a good God? So the Bible says, the diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick. And it goes on and on and on. It tells you that with the presence of a shepherd, diseases cannot be among the sheep. Because if you look at it literally, if you're a shepherd and you have sheep that are not feeling well, you work on them. Yeah. You put oil in the wounds. You make sure they are well. It's a vet will come around and make sure that things are well. In fact, there is those that shepherds in temperate countries, like in, you know, America and Canada and these places, even in the cold, they give them a shot of whiskey to keep them. Yeah. Yeah. If you don't have a shepherd, challenge, you'll be cold, though. But the shepherd will give the sheep a tot of whiskey in their mouths. Yeah, so that they can be active and move around and generate some heat. Yeah, sheep can be drunk. Yeah, you'll be filled with the Holy Ghost, I tell you. That can only happen when there's a shepherd. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not just something I'm talking about, but God is actually trying to align you, align me in a pasture, in a fold, where you have somebody who God is using to direct your life, to sort your life, to counsel you, to help you, to heal you. You and I need that. We need that. We need that. If you marry, you get marital problems. If you work, you get financial challenges. I don't know which part of our lives doesn't generate issues and challenges. But what happens when those things come? Who will be there? That your friend? That your friend? Who has not reached anywhere? Who doesn't have any supernatural power? Is Sheena here? Tashina, are you here? Tashina is not here. She was telling me something. This morning she said she feels so light and happy. She messaged me and she said, you know, at the point, Sunday night, those who were there, she ran to me, if you saw her. So she said, the reason why she ran to me was that she said she saw something. It wasn't me. She said, there was so much light. I was not there. There was this light that was there. And she said, it was just like Jesus. That's why she ran towards the light. I just sent a smiley face. I said, wow. A shepherd? You don't know what God can give you and what God wants to give you. I tell you. When you look at the Israelites, God gave them Moses. Hey, Moses would take his rod. And then when they got to the Red Sea, they were hollering. They were shouting. Because they saw Pharaoh and his army. They were coming. God told Moses, don't worry. Just stretch your rod. Moses stretched his rod. The Red Sea divided. The problem was solved. And they walked on dry ground. Let me tell you, Moses is one of the greatest shepherds and prophets ever. He is the one where you cannot cook food. You cannot buy any food. There's no gin supermarket. There's nothing. Moses was able to cause, I mean, with the help of God, the shepherd that God gave to the Israelites, they were never hungry for 40 years. Food came from heaven. The Lord is indeed my shepherd. I shall not want. Do you have a shepherd here? You have a shepherd? Do you have a shepherd? Is there somebody that you submit to? Somebody who can say, come and you come. Go and you go. Sit down and you sit down. I had an experience. Let me say this before I close. A young lady who wants to marry her 18 years child father. So I told the young lady, come, bring him. Come and see me. Some guy, you know, is known around a particular area. He's very popular. I was surprised when the guy came to church one Sunday. So whilst I was leaving, coming to Wales, then, you know, he came with a lady. And the lady said, oh, Bishop, this is my fella. So I said, oh, really? How are you? What's your name? Oh, I'm on my way to Wales. And you know, I don't want to stand and talk. Come and see me Wednesday, 5 o'clock, and let's talk. To my surprise, Wednesday, 5 o'clock. In fact, they came waiting for me before I got to the office. This is a big man who doesn't come to the church or anything, but the man submitted himself to come and sit down. When I asked him, so when are you going to marry? He says, it depends on her, whenever she says. I said, girl, you're blessed. Some don't ask them for nothing. I said, what time, what date? He says, oh, ask her. So I asked her, what time, what date? He said, Bishop, I don't know, you know, well, can I think about it? I said, hey, Some people are blessed though. And I'm going to start counseling with them and I'm going to marry them and they're going to continue their life together. It's only a day. You don't have a shepherd. Hey! Charlie, they'll hit your cake for 20 years, I tell you. Stand to your feet, put your hands together for the Lord. Oh, clap. You don't want to clap. Hey! I see. Tell your neighbor, you need a shepherd. Yeah. You see, if you are not well, you go to the hospital. You are glad to see a doctor who will help you. But it's very, very different when you have a personal doctor who you can call whenever you're not feeling well. And say, you know what? Doctor, you know, last time I came, you see, there's this thing here, the back of my head, there's a pain. It is better than if you have to go to Georgetown and stand in line for a long time. Yeah. That is exactly what God has given you. God has also given you a shepherd. If you have a problem, all you have to do is just call. All you have to do is just call. So if you don't submit yourself and make use of the shepherd God has given you, I don't know how you're going to live this life. You'll be troubled. You have diseases. You have this. You have that. You have that. Hey! Look at this. The lady has bought a ticket to America. You know how much it costs to buy a ticket to America? Because for more than over 1 year, there's this pain that will not leave her right hand. Doctors are telling her to rest the hand. Should you put the hand on the bed and put some cover on the hand or what? How can a hand rest? If you can't help, say you can't help. And Jesus has helped and Jesus has healed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bow down your heads with me. You are here tonight. You are not saved. You are not born again. When I say, Bishop, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. If you die right now, you are not sure whether you go to heaven or hell. You need Jesus. You need to give your life. You need to surrender your life to Christ tonight. Bishop, please pray for me. I want to receive Jesus into my heart and into my life. If you're here like that, I want to pray with you. Just lift up your right hand for me and I'll do so. Bishop, pray for me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. Maybe you're here for the first time, you're here for the second time. You don't know what will happen to you when you die. Something happens to everybody when you die. You either go to heaven or you go to hell. Remember when Jesus was on the cross? He told the thief that was also crucified with him. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. So what was the other thief going to be? The other thief was going somewhere else. That is not paradise. Where will you go if you are to die right now? Is it paradise or the other place? Don't miss paradise. That's a place of peace. That's a place of rest. Tonight, you want to say, Bishop, please pray for me. I want to be like the thief who Jesus took with him to paradise. I want to go to a good place when I die. Your right hand up high so I can pray with you. Your right hand, wherever you are. Paradise. You want to go to paradise. You've never given your heart to Jesus before. You've never confessed your sins. You want to say, Bishop, please pray for me tonight. I need Jesus. You are here like that. Just your right hand, wherever you are. I will pray with you. Wherever you are. Your right hand up above your head so I can see it. And I'll pray with you. Do I see a hand there? God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. That's right. Your right hand. If you lifted up your right hand, I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you, please. Come to me. Come to the front. I want to pray for you. Clap for him as he comes. Oh, clap. Lord, to Jesus I surrender. God bless you. Shake my hand. God bless you. Oh, clap for him. Man, then I will love and trust him in his presence daily. My friend, what's your name? Can you take your hands out of your pocket? Is that okay? You have money? You don't want anybody to thief it? You stash money in your pocket? Grangers? What's your name? Jason. Where are you from? Where do you live? Good intent. NDC area there, where Jonathan was liming? Yeah, same place. Wow. So when you don't come to church, I can find you. Yeah? I want to pray this prayer with you. Just close your eyes with me and say this prayer from the bottom of your heart. Church, join in as we pray together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. I surrender my life to Jesus and I open my heart. I ask Jesus to come into my heart to be my Savior from tonight. Father, thank you for saving my soul and for writing my name in the book of life. I will serve you, Father, for the rest of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you put your hands together for Brother Jason? Jason, don't go yet. Don't go as yet. Come. Wow. After church, right? After church, we want to talk to you. All right? You are not in a hurry, are you? Are you in a hurry? You want to go home quick? Nah, right? You got no wife and children and thing. Right after church, Jason, I want you to come to the front. I want to speak with you for about 10 minutes before you go home. Is that okay? Wonderful. God bless you. Put your hands together for Brother Jason. Oh, clap. We are so winner. I'm a so winner, isn't it? God bless you. We should sing that song at altar call. Eh? Ooh, yes, so, and they should be dancing while we are singing the altar call. Isn't it nice? And the dancers, instead of playing, you want to say, eh? You may be seated. Hallelujah. Yeah. When altar call is there, you say, ooh, yes, so, winner. Eh. I think it would be fantastic. You should have some dancers who come around and do some, so, winner. Eh, I'm coming to say something they do. Gerard, are you listening? So winner, cry, altar call. Right, so if you have your tithe tonight, please stand. Tithe. Wonderful. God bless you. Tithe. First fruits. God bless you. This Sunday is first and best Sunday also. We're bringing all the tithe into the storehouse. We're going to preach about tithe as well. Make sure your tithe is ready for this coming Sunday. Don't keep your tithe away. If you forgot, you need an envelope. The A team member there will help you get. We have an A team, a team of A team. You know, we have Mr. What? We have, who's that? Mordak. We have Mordak. Mordak. We have Mr. T. We have Mordak. We have all them fancy people. Goldfinger. The Midas touch. Amen. Let's pray over your tithe lifted up. Father, what a privilege it is to stand boldly, openly, confidently, honor you. We love you as our Father. We love you as our provider. We love you as our shelter, our life sustainer, and the giver of all good things. We give a tenth of our increase. You have increased, and it is you who has brought the increase. And therefore, we return unto you the tenth. I pray a blessing be poured out. I pray a blessing of favor, a blessing of a difference. Cause these ones to be different. Cause these ones to be so prosperous and so established that they will differ from another. Let the blessings of God that maketh rich be their portion from tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Hey, June is going to be a wonderful month for you, I tell you. We are preparing for June, isn't it? Yes, it's going to be a wonderful month, I tell you. God has promised us, he said, every month in this year is going to be full of things. Full of things. God bless you. It's going to be full of things. It's going to be full of things. Amen. God bless you. Are you receiving it? Yeah. June is our month of wonderful things, I tell you. So make sure you open your eyes and your ears for the testimonies and the miracles. Hallelujah. Wonderful. I forgot something. I want to do it quickly before I testimony happened tonight.
Sunday.
Sorry. Brother, I want it tonight.
No, tonight.
This is a challenge. Is it tonight? come to. Put your hands together for Sister Charlie. Share. Share. So, were you around Sunday night? Yeah, you were there Sunday. Yeah. All right. Tell us. Please stand here for me.
Good evening. Yeah. Good evening, church.
It's a good evening already. Go ahead.
I would like to share my testimony about how Bishop healed my heart pain.
How the Lord healed your pain. Yes. Jesus, Bishop prayed for you, but it's the Lord that healed you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a straining muscle on my heart below it. Whenever I run and exert myself, it beats really hard and it hurts my chest and back. So Bishop prayed for me, and as he laid his hands on my chest, it was an amazing heat from his hands. And as he laid his hands on my chest, I felt like someone stuck their hand into my back and just tugged it, like yanked it out. That's why I leaned over like this, and I fell to the floor. And earlier, I was going for Akeem, and I was late, so I said, I was skeptic to run to go get him so he could come faster, right? So I pulled my back strap and I started to move slowly. And then I started picking up the speed, and by the time I knew it, I was at Akeem's house, and I didn't feel anything.
But is this something you would have normally felt pain for?
Yeah, whenever I go to Samaria and work over, like exert myself, Sister Judy would notice. I go down and I catch my breath. Because I could pass out at any moment.
Really? Since last night?
Yeah. Nothing.
Nothing. Give the Lord a big hand clap. Hallelujah. Timothy's healed. Sister Charlene, this is tonight.
Yeah, just now.
Just now. Yes, I want the hot ones too. Tell us.
I used to be suffering with this neck pain.
The one you told me about?
Yeah.
Is it not a bag?
So even tonight when
give
I
give the ladies
came
some volume, please. Yes, go ahead.
Even tonight when I came in, the neck was paining. So when Sister Esther was sharing her testimony, I'm saying, so why didn't I get healed too?
Because you don't have a ticket to America.
I didn't. No, but when Bishop prayed just now, when I placed my hand on the neck was hurting. And the pressure from the hand caused it to hurt even more. So I was tempted to remove my hand, but I did not. And then when Bishop said, finish and you can sit, I felt something cold on my neck.
Wow.
And then I don't feel the pain. I can.
Are you sure?
No,
you can't feel the pain?
No, I'm not feeling it.
Oh, this is a big woman, oh. It's not a little child who doesn't know what is going on. Give Jesus a big hand clap. Hallelujah. Man. God bless you, Sister Charlene. Hey. Maxwell. Hey. Put your hands together for the young lady. She also has a hot testimony. Tonight or Sunday? Please.
Good night. Hakima has been tuned in to the message through WhatsApp, and she left
how
with a
come?
Headache.
How come?
She was listening to the message through WhatsApp.
You called her?
Yes, Bishop. And she was listening from.
So you call WhatsApp?
Yes.
And so as I'm preaching, it's going through the phone.
Yes, Bishop.
And it's going to her where she's at.
Yes,
at work.
Yes, Bishop.
Uh-huh.
So she left with a headache. She's still listening at the moment.
Okay.
She left with a headache. Her head was really hurting.
Okay.
So she said during the preaching, the headache was going and going, and by the time the prayer ended, her headache is completely gone.
Hey. And she's amazed. This is internet healing. My God. Can you understand what's happening? The lady is not here, but she's listening to the preaching and the prayer.
Yes, Bishop.
And the headache that she went to work with is completely gone.
Yes, Bishop. She's amazed, Bishop. She says she's still amazed at this moment.
Can we hear from her? Can she say something into the microphone? Is she there?
Yes, true, but it's clean forward.
Can she talk through the microphone, please?
Yeah.
Speak up. Yes, what happened?
Bishop, I was, when I left tonight, I was having a headache, and then, you know, I told Maxwell, I called her not too long ago. Uh-huh. And she called me back because I told her I was having a headache. So she asked me if I wanted to listen to the message. So I sent a happy face, and then she proceeded.
Okay.
So as I was listening, the headache was going, but it was still there. And then as you prayed, I was even surprised. I didn't know that you would have prayed for diseases or whatever you were praying for. And it's gone. I don't have a headache right now.
Come on, somebody! Come on! Oh, oh, oh! Why are you sitting down?
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.